Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And Lord willing, we'll close out this chapter of glimpses into God-mentioned faith. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed it. Looking back over the, I call them character studies. There's so much more that could be said. In fact, that's what he starts off with verse 32. And begins to list several individuals down through here. So we're going to begin reading in verse number 32 and read down through verse number 40. Close out this chapter. The Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." As I read down through this passage of Scripture, and we're closing out, there's so much, and we could take every one of these people in verse number 32, and we could look at their lives, we could look at what God did through them. And I do want to make mention of them and share a few things. There's so much preaching that comes down through, but may I simply say this, as we read down through here, I don't know if you would join me in saying I'm thankful that we didn't live in the first century. The Bible reminds us through the writings of the Apostle Paul that we have not yet resisted sin unto death or unto blood. We still live in a free country, as Brother Hunter was testifying of a little bit earlier. But yet, as the statement has gone, we are never more than one generation away from losing not just the physical freedom, but the spiritual and religious freedom that we enjoy so much. That in many times, not just do we enjoy it, but yet we take for granted. I'm amazing at how many stood up and started fighting for religious freedom when all of a sudden it might have started being taken away across our nation over the past 9 months. But yet they took it for granted previous to that, and it was hit or miss. I'm thankful for what God's done for us. I'm thankful we live in 2021. I'm thankful for the examples that God gives to us of these Old Testament saints that lived by faith, that God used in a great and a mighty way. I want to share just a few, and you can write these notes down to be able to go back and read about them. But there's something that God taught me as I looked at each and every one of these that are specifically named. And you can go back and look at these passages of Scripture, and I guarantee God will teach you something if you go back and read about these men and ladies that are made mentioned of as we come down through here. We know about Gideon. He's found in Judges chapter number 6 is where it begins. And I wrote down as I was reminded about Gideon that little is much when God is in it. And then sometimes you have to minimize to win the battle that God has in front of us. You say, what do you mean? Well, they started out with about 32,000 men of war that were in the army. And by the time God got done with them, they were down to 300. But may I remind us that 300 with the power and the presence of God will always get more accomplished than 32,000 that are trying to do it in their own strength. And I'm thankful for a God that knows what's best. And I've thought about it several times. How many have ever gone out? And I'll tell you about my last experience when I was out in the woods and I drank from a nice mountain stream that was coming down through there. It wasn't the most pleasant night later on, just to be honest with you. But every time I go to drink from a mountain stream, I'll be honest, I always go back and think about Gideon. Because I think about how I'm getting down and actually drinking water. And it came to the point that literally those that would get down and lap it like a dog, not paying attention to anything that was around them, God said, I want you to send that crowd home. But those that would get down upon a knee and be able to cup the water up and bring it to their mouth to be able to drink it, they're still aware of things. And God said, those are the ones that we're going to take to battle. And God's always taught me through the account of Gideon that little is much when God is in it. And God can do more with our little bit than we could ever do with our multitude. And I'm thankful for a God that teaches us that. But then we also have mentioned here, we have Barak. And may I remind us, as you study Barak, you can go back and he's mentioned in Judges chapter number 4. And sometimes Barak will actually get kind of a bad rap throughout scriptures. Because he's the one that said that he looked over at Deborah and Barak was supposed to go to battle. And he looked over at Deborah and he said, well, I'll go if you'll go with me. And so, of course, the macho man ego always gives Barak a hard time because he wouldn't go without a woman going with him. But if you read a few verses before that, it actually says that God was using Deborah to be the judge of God's people at that time. And then I wrote down through there, and you may not like this, but I've learned this over the years, that sometimes there are ladies that know more than what I do. And how many ladies say amen right there? How many are elbowing their husband saying, see, I told you so. But Deborah was being used of the Lord during that time. When you look at the scriptures, and Deborah came to Barak and said, it's time to go to war. And with the leadership that was in his life at that point, may I say this, I learned that we have to have the faith to be able to follow who God puts in our lives with Deborah and Barak. And may I remind us, if you go back and read Judges chapter 4, guess what? God brought a great victory with Barak going out and being able to accomplish that which God had for him to be able to accomplish. But then we have Samson. And it says there, and of Samson, and you say, well, why would he be mentioned? If I were to ask, like we did last week, about the life of Samson, would have to say, Samson and Delilah. Just like David and Bathsheba. One of his greatest failures. As he gave the secret up to the power and the presence of God upon his life. May I say this, he was more in trouble by laying his head upon her lap. He was already heading down that road. But you say, what can we learn when we look at Samson's life? When you get over there and Samson is mentioned as another judge of Israel between Judges chapter 13 and Judges chapter number 16. And we know that Samson gave up the secret. He had He had taken the Nazarite vow that he would not touch the fruit of the vineyard and he would not cut his hair. That would be a symbol of his vow that he had made to the Lord. And we know he gave up that secret to Delilah and she cut off his hair and the power of God departed from him. The saddest part of that story is that he didn't even know that the power of God was gone. And the Bible says that he was going out as at other times. He said, I'll shake myself off just at other times. And the Bible says, and he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And I learned, you know, it's real easy to just go through the motions because of previous victories than to make sure that the power and the presence of God is dwelling upon us on a regular basis. And listen, no matter what we're facing, we better make sure whether we've done this 100 times or this is the first time, we better make sure that the power and presence of God is upon us. But then may I say this, he had the faith to finish well. You say, what do you mean? One of the greatest verses I read in the Bible, one of the greatest verses of grace that I believe that there are is where he is actually bound up to the threshing floor there, pulling that wheel around. And the Bible says, and the hair of his head began to grow again. I heard a preacher, and they're always more articulate in their sermon titles than what I am. And he preached a message one time on someone forgot to call the barber. And the Bible says the hair of his head began to grow again. Can you imagine what it was like that day as Samson is there and he's just on the threshing floor and he's literally taking the place of oxen, pulling that threshing wheel around there. And maybe he reaches up and feels his hair is beginning to grow again. How many of y'all would enjoy that feeling today? Anyway, moving on. The hair of his head began to grow again. Now listen, that's not such a big deal to us today. But to him, that was the symbol of the power and the presence of God. And then when they led him in there to be able to mock him and make fun of him there, I believe he had made things right with God and he prayed for God to give him strength one more time. This one last time to be able to push them pillars over. And he had faith to be able to finish well. God allowed me to preach a message one time out of that passage of scripture on beyond the daily grind. Because that's where Samson was. And sometimes we just get to that point, but may I say this, until we draw our last breath, there's still time to get right with God. And for the power of God and the presence of God to be able to be manifest upon our hearts and lives. He had the faith to finish well. But then we have Jephthah, who is mentioned here after Samson, and of Jephthah. Mentioned one time here in Hebrews chapter number 11, but you can go back to Judges chapter number 11, and here's where Jephthah is made mention of as you read down through there. And he had the faith to fight and not to turn and run. And I thought, what an example that there is of those being able to stand and God to be able to use him in a great way in the face of compromise when many others were saying no. He said, we'll fight. In fact, as you look at his life, and I won't get into all of it, it's a wonderful read. Go back to Judges chapter number 11. But he was actually expelled out of his family and he had to flee. But then it was later on that they came to him and said, would you come and be the leader and be the captain of us fighting? And he stepped back there and against those that ran him out, he went back and actually led them into battle to be able to fight and to be able to win for the cause of right. And I thought, you know, you may have some bad experiences in the past and you may allow them to be able to defeat you. And you say, but this came from my own family and I had to get away from even my family. But may I remind us that does not negate the possibility of God being able to use you. We see that of Jephthah. And then, of course, we see of David also. You ever wondered? So it says of David, and then it says of Samuel. If there were ever two men in the Old Testament that I would say there probably ought to be a little more time and a little few more verses. I mean, after all, for Moses, we got down there and had 5 or 6. But what could be said about Samuel? What could be said about David? I mean, the faith of David to be able to step out there with five smooth stones and a slingshot and say, I've got faith that God is going to deliver you into my hand. The faith, and yes, we know, and once again, we have David and Bathsheba, but may I say this, David knew how to repent. David knew how to be able to get things right and to be able to confess before the Lord by faith. He learned how to live for God. He learned that he served a big God. Think about Samuel. The first, and some say that he was the first crossover from being a judge to becoming a prophet. The Bible calls him a prophet. But imagine Samuel, who just God used to be able to anoint Saul as being the first king of Israel. God used him to be able to anoint David. And you say, well, what about the faith of Samuel? I believe that he had faith to listen to God and not go by the sight of men. Because when he went to anoint David to be king, remember Eliab came by, that oldest brother, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And God said, no. You're looking at how he looks on the outside, but I'm looking on the heart. And then he went through all the brothers, and we know he wasn't there. He said, there's got to be someone else. And then here comes David, but he's ruddy. He's of a countenance. He's just... But that's who God chose. And I thought, here we have the faith of David and the faith of Samuel. And then he simply summarizes by this, and of the prophets. Can you imagine? You think about this as you go through and start in Sunday school. If you choose to take that class, you'll hear about some of the minor prophets. And we say minor by the size of the book that God used them to be able to write. Not the Isaiah and Jeremiah and the Ezekiels and the Daniels that are a little bit bigger. We think about the prophets and you say, what about the faith of the prophets? Well, we look down through there and how about the faith to be able to proclaim when there's not going to be any results? You know something? I think if God had told me when we were coming here a little over 7 years ago to start a church, that God had said, listen, I want you to go up there and preach. I want you to go up and start a church. But absolutely nobody's going to come. They're going to hate you in Concord. And you're never going to be able to get anything accomplished. I wonder if I would have been like a Jeremiah that said, well, bless God, let's go give the message. I mean, let's get excited about this. Let's get stirred up. No. They had the faith to proclaim the word of God regardless at what the outcome and the results would be. You know why? Because they weren't looking to please men. They were looking to please the one that sent them. And I thought, Lord, if you'd allow us to be able to have the faith to be able to proclaim. But then he mentions down through here, and listen, he just starts giving things that some of the Old Testament saints went through. That they subdued kingdoms, and there's some we come down through here, wrought righteousness. Look at the end of verse number 33. Stopped the mouth of lions. Who could that be in the Old Testament? Daniel. Now, how did he do that? You say, well, he must have been a super Christian. No, he did it by faith, the Bible tells us. And you say, what can we learn from him? Daniel had faith to pray when everybody was telling him not to. He had faith to continue on. I gave the devotion this past Tuesday night on Facebook and YouTube about looking at our habits in our lives and whether they're godly habits or ungodly habits. And we look back at Daniel in Daniel chapter number 6. And the Bible says that he went and he gave thanks and he prayed as he did aforetime. That means he was already doing this, regardless of the laws of the land. And I wonder if we have faith enough to pray. You say, why don't we pray more? Because I don't believe we have the faith that it's really going to work. If we really believe that when we prayed, we actually had the ear of Almighty God, I think we'd do it a little bit more. If we actually believe that we're talking to him and God can actually do something about it. For Daniel, it was faith to be able to stop. How much do you think he prayed that night? And the Bible says that he was able to tell King Darius the next morning that God Almighty had sent his angel to stop the mouths. Talk about faith. But then he says this in verse number 34, quenched the violence of fire. Who would that be? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you imagine as they're standing, and that's what I wrote down, at least these three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter number 3, they had the faith to stand, didn't they? When no one else would. Now, do you understand the magnitude of this? That it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But yet we've been told, studying history back in Daniel chapter number 1, that it was estimated about 10,000 Hebrew children were taken captive. How many were standing when the music started? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you understand there's a possibility of 9,997 that bowed the knee to the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up? But there were three that could walk out afterwards. Imagine that story around the campfire that night. Quench the violence of fire. Now listen, all of these, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really envy, I want to see the power and the presence of God like they did. I don't envy all these men and ladies, okay? I would like to be able to see the power and presence of God without having to experience it inside of a fiery furnace, okay? I would like to be able to experience the presence of God without having to pray all night because there's a lion that is there that is licking his chops. Listen, they had starved those lions to the point that the next day when they put those that tried to entrap Daniel, they were dead and eaten before they hit the bottom of the cave. That's how hungry those lions were. You say, well, they'd probably just fed them. No. God stopped the mouth of the lion. You say, I'd like to experience that. No, you really wouldn't. Just be honest. But we still can experience the power and the presence of God. As I read down through here, the Bible says women received their dead raised to life again. I was reminded of Elijah. I was reminded of Jesus being here on this earth. Do you realize in verse number 35, do you realize we have one extreme of grief and the other extreme of rejoicing? The Bible says in rejoice in verse number 35, women receive their dead raised to life again. Boy, that'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? But what's the next four words? And others were tortured. But look at this, not accepting deliverance. Now I want to close out this passage of Scripture. You say we read about these things. We read about, you can come down through here, they were stoned. The Apostle Paul was stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. Now listen, this is for people that are living for God. These are people that are doing their best to remain righteous and serve the Lord. You say, why did they endure such things? Do you realize they endured that because they knew what they had waiting for them on the other side? They had Jesus. I don't believe that it was just heaven. I don't believe it was just that death would solve all of this. I believe it's because they knew they had Jesus on the other side, and that was far better than anything that could go through. We read through, and there's a podcast that I've been listening to, and it gives the account. It goes back into history, and there's the account from back in the, we call them the Dark Ages. And there was a lady, if I get her name right, it was Maiken Wins. And it's on this podcast, and I don't mind recommending it to you, but it's called Forgotten. And you listen down through there, and it'll encourage you to be a Christian. And you'll be thankful. This lady was arrested for being a witness and a testimony. You know, it was not just men that were martyred at the stake. And there's record, and I won't get into all of it this afternoon, but there's record, and the man reads the last letter that from prison she penned to her family. And I believe at that time, her oldest boy was about 9 or 11 years old. And she wrote the letter addressed to him and said, share it with those that are around and I will see you and we'll spend eternity in heaven together. And writes all this down, saying her goodbyes to the family. And history tells us, and it's recorded, and it reminded me as I listened to it this week and I knew I was already in this passage of Scripture. They had such a torture device called a tongue screw. And I don't mean to be too graphic this afternoon, but they would grab the tongue and pull it out as far as they could, and they would put this device on and it would screw through the tongue and have a latch on the other side. And then there would be a weight that would be hung out of the mouth to pull the tongue out of the mouth, and you were not able to talk whatsoever when that was attached. And history records, as I read down through here, when it says others were tortured. They had learned through some of the dark ages that as they took Christians out to be able to burn them at the stake, or they were to crucify them, or they were to put them into the arenas, that their last dying breaths, they would be spent praising the Lord. Others, as the flames would mount up around them, they would be inhaling the smoke, singing Amazing Grace. And talking about the grace of God, or quoting Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And they'd be talking about how good their God is and testifying until the very end. I often wonder if it was because of the testimony of dying saints that they came up with that called the tongue screw. And history tells us that she was led out that day. Her son showed up to be able to say goodbye to his mother, and grief was overtaking him, and he actually passed out because of the grief. He did not see what took place with his mother that day, but afterwards walked up to her feet as she was hung there attached to that stake after her life had been taken from her. And what he remembers is his mother went out faithful and serving the Lord. You say, why? We read passages of Scripture like this. You say, Pastor, stories and accounts like that have no place inside of our churches today. Well, listen, if that's the case, then Hebrews 11 has no place in our churches today. But I believe it does. Because we're understanding those that, listen, they were not so focused on what was here in this world. But listen, there was one word that caused them to be able to look towards the other side and having received the, not receiving the promises, but it's the word faith. And by faith, every one of them down through here. The Bible closes with this phrase in verse number 39. It says, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Look what he said in verse number 40. Do you realize we're all part of this? And verse 40 says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And I just got thinking about how it's going to be in eternity, whether it be Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, all of us gathered around for all of eternity, just completing each other. And I thought, Lord, you've got so much for us. Let me ask you something. Would we be willing to go through half of what they did by faith? By faith. Just knowing we have heaven. We have Jesus. That's what's waiting for us. Hey, we may not get the promise of deliverance down here on this earth, but we have Jesus. And we have that waiting for us, that we might obtain a better resurrection. Some of us maybe couldn't make it through verse number 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Oh, they made fun of me for being a Christian. Really? Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Some of us maybe couldn't make it through verse number 36. I thought, Lord, if you'd help us now, how can that all be done? It's not done through your strength, and it's not done through my strength. But it is done by faith. You know, he started off in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, speaking of faith, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And at verse number 39, he said, and these all, having obtained a good report. I wonder, as we close out Hebrews chapter 11, for each of these men and ladies that we've looked at, God has given us their report card on faith. And I just wonder, in our lives, as we close this out, what would our report card look like? If that report was given, would it be a good report that we've received by faith? Or would it be, I don't even think I can make it through? The things that Abel went through, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, don't forget about them, the nation of Israel, and Rahab, and Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets. The report card of faith was a good report. Where's ours at? I wonder if God will give us a passing grade. If not, we're not pleasing him if it's not by faith. We have Jesus. What more do we need? We have Jesus. We'll obtain the promise. We've got Jesus. Father, we love you. I'm thankful so much for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd work in a special way in our hearts and lives. Would you increase our faith? Lord, in some cases, would you increase it to the size of a mustard seed? That, Lord, you may accomplish great things. And Lord, I'm thankful it hasn't come to this point yet, at least here in America. But Lord, if you were to so choose to allow it, may we still continue to live by faith. And may you be pleased with our lives. Thank you for who you mentioned and gave the report card of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.